Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
This topic has been in the news a lot lately, and I thought that it was something that I talked about on the podcast before, so much so that I dug so deep for it, but I don't think it actually is. So today we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk on my views on what I think are biblical views about the abortion issue, and we're going to talk about it from a twofold stance. So from my views on the issue itself of pro-life, pro-choice, and then also from a stance of having a lot of compassion. And so we'll dive into both of those today. Hello, my name is Megan, and welcome back to the She Lives Purposely podcast. I am so thankful that you're here. I'm so ready for this episode. This is something, honestly, I had something completely different planned for today. For today's topic, and that's going to be a topic that we're going to talk about in the next couple of weeks. And then this morning, I just kind of got this stirring in my heart. I was reading some different articles, seeing things in the news, and I was like, you know what? I feel like this is such an important thing for us to talk about, the topic of the abortion issue, pro-life. And I think, too, there are so many women, Christian women included, who don't really know what kind of a stance they should take or what thoughts that they should have. And so I just wanted to come and kind of bring my own thoughts that I think are biblical thoughts to you and talk about too why I think they're biblical and all of that good stuff. So I'm excited for today's episode. You might be able to hear it in my voice. I was sick in the last two episodes and you could definitely hear that. I got 100% better. And then literally yesterday I started feeling sick again. So I'm just congested and I am so sorry for anything that sounds kind of off in the audio. But got sick again. I don't really know. At first I was like, maybe it's just allergies, but I think I got a cold again. So anywho, we had such a busy couple of weeks. Last week we were away in Florida and then Virginia all in the span of 7 days. We got to visit my grandmother, which was so sweet. My Grammy Donnie presented at a work conference, and then he also led worship for a worship night the day before a wedding. We saw our sweet friends get married. We got to hang out with friends. It was just such a sweet time. So busy, but all good things. Also, I realized that I didn't announce this last week. I think because I was sick and had pre-recorded the episode, something got messed up. But I did reach out to the giveaway winner. So the podcast review giveaway winner has been chosen. Congratulations to Margaret. We have been chatting and I'm so excited to send you your giveaway goodies. And just thank you so much to everyone who entered the giveaway and for all of your sweet words. The winner was chosen at completely random. It wasn't based on like what the review was or anything like that. It was totally random. But I do want to read Margaret's review because I feel like it's just so powerful and sweet to hear. So I want to read it with you here. Okay. So she said, "Meg, I learned about your podcast on Instagram from people sharing it. I just want to let you know how grateful I am that God led me to you. I look forward to hearing your podcast all the time and even replaying old ones. It is truly inspiring and motivating to live life with God. Thanks to you, I learned so much about my life with Christ. I thank you so much for always sharing amazing words with the world. My life has simply become better, allowing Him to guide me. And it's been such an amazing journey. Preach the word, girl. Amazing podcast. Keep up the good work." So I just thought that that was so sweet. And it speaks also so much to how powerful it is when we are sharing encouragement, whether it's on social media, via text, you know, whatever that looks like, via email, I don't know, but how much it actually impacts other women. And here she literally says that it has inspired her and motivated her to live life with God. Like, that is the impact that we have when we're sharing things that we love. Maybe it's this podcast, episodes from this podcast. Maybe it's other podcasts that you love too. Other posts on social media, posts from She Lives Purposely on social media, whatever it is. But like you sharing those things makes a direct impact in the life of somebody else. It's not frivolous. It's not, you know, like without meaning, or it's just going to be up there even on your story for 24 hours, whatever it is. It actually has impact. And we see that in this review, which is so cool. I have not been able to go through all the reviews yet. I've been going through some of them, and I just am so thankful and humbled and encouraged that you are so encouraged by this space, by the podcast. It seriously means the world that you left a review. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord has brought us together in this space and that he's using this podcast to be an encouragement. So thank you. If you left a review and you submitted it via email or DM, I plan to reach out to every single one of you and thank you personally. Seriously, I appreciate it so much. And if you didn't enter the giveaway, but you want to leave a review, that is the best way that you can love on the podcast. So be sure to leave a review on Apple, rate it on Spotify, subscribe on YouTube, and two, as we saw from this review, share it with a friend. Okay, so like I said, this is a twofold kind of episode on the topic of abortion and the abortion issue. And the first thing that I want to talk about is just directly my stance on this issue. It's just been something that's been up in the news a lot, especially over the past couple of years, but lately just different things going on politically. And so I wanted to talk about what my stance is on it again, because I think one, maybe you know your stance and you want to be encouraged and empowered in it to know somebody else thinks this way too. And you know, it just is kind of encouraging to know that other people think the way that you do. Or maybe you don't know what your stance is on this issue. You don't know what you should think, and you just kind of want insight from somebody else or what they think and their opinions, their thoughts. And so that is what I am going to be sharing here with you today. Okay, so summed up, I am firmly pro-life, and I want to dive into my reasons why with you and why I think it's actually a biblical stance too. I have some verses here that I want to share with you, and this is actually from, I pulled these from a post that I had done back when Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court about 2 years ago now, or I guess almost 2 years ago, not quite. But two, I think just prefacing is, I think that we see all throughout Scripture that the Lord values the unborn life, and then I think as we see that, as Christ followers, as Christians, we are, you know, becoming more like Christ and want to become more like God and follow God's ways. And so I think that those two things really tie into biblically, like, okay, why should I be pro-life? Because the Lord values these lives. And so as someone who's following him, I should too. But I want to break it down into these few verses so that you can see, and I'm not just like pulling this out of thin air. Jumping off of that, I have been dwelling, you know, always, this is She Lives Purposefully, but like, especially lately, on the concept of purpose and our individual callings. And so these verses have been sticking out a ton to me lately. And I think tying into, you know, just seeing this topic on the news, I've been so passionate about lately, just like that the Lord knows what he has for you even before you were born. And thinking too, you know, all these stances that I'm going to have, I have had before I was pregnant, but even being pregnant now and thinking about our son and thinking about how the Lord knows all of his days before he's even born is so powerful. And the Lord has a purpose for him and callings for his life even before he comes out of the womb is so incredible. And it's literally what it says in God's word. And so that's just another thing in my brain lately, but here are some verses that I want to share with you. Okay, so this can be found in Jeremiah 1, and it's talking about Jeremiah and how he was appointed to be a prophet before he was formed in the womb. It says, quote, "Before I formed you in the womb," that he was appointed to be a prophet to the nations. So that's before God was even like, and we'll talk about this verse too in Psalm 139, but like how God intricately weaves us together. So this is before Jeremiah was even born. The Lord knew what he wanted Jeremiah to do and why he was going to bring Jeremiah into this earth. And I think the same is true for you and for me. Before the Lord even knit us together, he knew exactly why he wanted you to be in this world. And I think that the same is true for the babies in our bellies and, you know, all of the unborn babies. All right, so Isaiah 49, we see something similar too. We see that the Lord calls from the womb. So before babies are born, before children are born, when they're in the womb, before they're even formed, the Lord calls them. In Psalm 139, we see that God carefully knits people together and that all the days of our lives are already ordained before our bodies were formed, which really coincides beautifully with that Jeremiah 1 verse. And then in Luke chapter 1, this is a really cool portion too that I think, you know, those other verses we kind of bring up a lot when it comes around this issue of like pro-life versus pro-choice and abortion. This Luke 1 chapter is really cool too. We see John the Baptist in the womb, and in the womb, he recognizes Mary's voice and who she is, that she's going to be the mother of Jesus, who's going to be the savior of the world. And he reacts in the womb to hearing her voice. And Luke 1 also tells us that even in the womb, he was filled with the Spirit. So John the Baptist in the womb was filled with the Spirit. Just these few verses alone, like, you cannot tell me that the Lord does not care about an unborn baby, a baby that is not yet outside of the womb, but is in the womb and being formed and knit together. You can't tell me that the Lord doesn't care about that person. He knows all of their days. He is creatively creating them and knitting to get them together. He knows exactly what he's called them to. He knows exactly why he wants them to be on this earth. The same thing is true for you and for I before we were born. And so I think those verses just really speak to how much the Lord really does care about the unborn and the human beings that are inside of women, but also like even before they're even formed. Okay. So now I want to pivot to kind of a scientific look at it and also bringing in my own pregnancy into this aspect. And just kind of talking about like going throughout, especially the first trimester, which I think is where this topic is the most controversial, maybe, and talking about what happens during the first trimester. So for somebody who is pro-choice, there are a lot of different, how do I say this, like ways that you can, or places where you can put your marker. You could say, all right, at 6 weeks, okay, at 15, 16 weeks, all right, at 24 weeks, and so on and so forth. And many people even who go on until even after birth. And that's not just like a fear-mongering thing. That's a really real thing. And a really real take that people have is being able to end this life after birth too. So there's a lot of different takes in the pro-choice position of where abortion can be had up until. And so a really common one is, and one that has been in the news a lot lately, is about 15 to 16 weeks. And so I just want to speak to too, before I dive into what happens kind of in a lot of these weeks. It's so crazy for me, I think, now to hear that. Before, I was pregnant as well, but now, like, I'm 23 weeks right now. And so to be able to look back so recently, like 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, and know through my ultrasounds and appointments and what I was feeling and so many different things that were happening during that time. Oh my gosh. And even just different affirmations the Lord gave me before about this baby, knowing that like the Lord knew all of his days before, like reminding me of these things and plopping them into my lap, even before anybody knew we were pregnant, just verses that people were sending me. It's just so crazy. Like just knowing how much the Lord cares about this life and how much is going on around this life by the time they are 15, 16 weeks, it feels so crazy to me that you could end the life at that time. And even too, and this was something that I thought was so profound, a friend, my sister's friend, who she's really close to, actually had a preterm labor and her baby was born at 17 weeks. And this baby now is living. I'm pretty sure he's over 1 year old and like made it through that. And so again, just to think that you could end that life a week earlier or whatever your stance may be, 20 weeks, 24 weeks, whatever it is, and just thinking like this baby made it. Being born early at 17 weeks, this baby made it out and their life was sustained. I think it just really kind of brings it into perspective like, wow, that's really late, even though it's not as late as other takes and other positions, it's a really late time be able to abort a baby. So just in my own experience and tying into what actually is happening throughout the first trimester, we found out really early that we were pregnant. We found out at week four that we were pregnant at the end of week four. So I think it was going into week five, but it was technically week four. And at week five, I have my notes here of just different things and facts that I pulled from pregnancy apps and different things that I was using and what they tell you is going on throughout that time. So at week five, organs are already forming. At week six, our OB was able to take his heart rate and tell us what his heart rate was, which is really incredible. And again, that's really early. A lot of women don't even know that they're pregnant by week six. But his heart rate, you could already tell what it was, which is really cool. By the end of week eight, all essential organs and body systems have begun to develop. At week 10, we were able to test the gender and see what our baby's gender was going to be, if he is a he, but if he was a boy or a girl. And actually that, their gender, if they're a boy or a girl, is determined at the moment of fertilization. And also at this time, at week 10, the brain is growing rapidly. At week 11, we had an ultrasound, and our baby was responding to touch of the ultrasound tech. And we saw our baby kicking and moving, and I have a really hot take here. So technically, at as early as 15 weeks, your baby responds to sound. But we saw the coolest thing in the ultrasound where, and I share this too on our pregnancy announcement podcast or video, where our little baby boy 100% responded to the sound of my husband's voice. It was like so clear, so direct. It was wild. So technically, you know, 15 weeks, but I'm gonna make that claim of 11 weeks right there. All right, at 12 weeks, their digestive system starts working and they're already making white blood cells to fight germs later on. And as of 2022, new studies show that some babies can experience pain as early as 12 weeks as well. They say that a preborn baby can survive outside the womb at 24 weeks. That's what our OB just told us in an appointment we had earlier this week. And yeah, so that's kind of some of the things in the timeline in the more first half of, even going into a little bit of the second half, that 24-week mark of pregnancy and all that is happening and all that is developing in this baby. And two, so I think it really comes down to a big part of it is, one, for me, I think there's so much biblical support for knowing what the Lord thinks about the unborn, and that he cares for them and he knows them and he knows all of their lives. I think that's really important. But two, you know, you could come into this argument of like, all right, when does life actually begin? When does it begin? Because then if it begins, then to terminate a pregnancy, to terminate something after a life actually begins, is ending life. And so former president of the National Medical Association, Dr. Jasper Williams, states that human life begins, quote, when the ovum is fertilized and the new combined cell mass begins to divide. The NIH states the same. The biological, this is a quote, the biological line of existence of each individual without exception begins precisely when fertilization of the egg is successful. So you can, of course, go into this debate, and this is the abortion debate itself, is it a mom's choice over her own body, or is it a baby's right to life? And here we see again, like it, by non-pro-life standards, by non-Christian standards, that life begins when the egg is fertilized. And so technically to terminate the fertilized egg at any point after when it's fertilized is ending a life itself. And so I think that's really powerful to know too, and just to lay out these different things, like this is exactly what's happening in this time frame. This is when life actually begins by scientific standards. And so anything after that is terminating a life. And so for those reasons, I'm trying to make sure I don't have anything else in my notes here for reasons wise. Those are just some of the reasons that I want to talk about why I am pro-life unapologetically, firmly. And yeah, I hope that that is helpful. Maybe if you are deciding for yourself what you want to be, if you are pro-life or pro-choice or whatever that looks like, or if you are pro-life and maybe this is just an encouragement like, okay, this is a really cool like layout of why Megan is pro-life and just an encouragement in that way too. So that's why I think it's biblical. I also think it's scientific to be pro-life. There are a million other arguments for being pro-choice, for questioning pro-life. There's a million different things. I'm not going to dive into all of those things today. Okay, but pivoting now, I want to talk about the second aspect that I had said, which in my notes and what I said earlier was kind of compassion outside of the womb. So I think that this applies to, you know, there is the argument, okay, a lot of people who are pro-life are only pro-life when a baby is inside the womb. When they come out of the womb, they totally forget about them, things like that. And two thoughts right off of that for that argument. One, I think regardless of your activism and what you do after the womb, regardless, it doesn't negate the fact that you're taking a life inside the womb. However, I do actually think it is so important for people who are pro-life pre-birth to also be very pro-life post-birth. And that can look like a variety of things. That can look like fostering. That can look like abortion. That can look like supporting your pregnancy clinic in the area or one that you know about. That can look like supporting women who are going to choose life and are scared to, and walking alongside them or supporting or donating or whatever that is. There's a variety of ways that we can do that as people who are pro-life, and especially Christians who are called to really care for one another. So jumping off of that, I do just want to say too that there is a, you know, with that argument in mind, there's actually a huge number of resources oftentimes driven by people who are pro-life and even Christian, and not that all Christians are pro-life, but just many times they are. And so kind of putting that right now in a group together, a lot of times it's Christian-led or pro-life-led, but there are a ton of resources for having compassion and being pro-life outside of the womb as well. And a lot of people, you know, put their time and their money and their effort where their mouth is. And I think that's really important to do, number one. And I'm really thankful that it actually is happening a lot. So there are actually, I was looking down here at this stat here. There are over 2,700 pregnancy resource centers, many that offer, I'm going to list some of the things, free lab pregnancy tests, counseling, mentorship, all this free, material assistance like diapers, baby formula, equipment, clothing, ultrasounds. And they do this, they provide all of this, no matter what you decide to do. And they even provide, some of them, post-abortion recovery with counselors. So people who made the decision to have an abortion, and maybe they regret it, they're feeling sad, depressed, that's something that is really common. With getting an abortion, it doesn't happen to everybody. I'm not trying to put a huge, you know, sticker label on that, that everybody who has that experiences those feelings afterwards, but it is very common. And so a lot of these pregnancy centers actually provide counseling post making that decision. So I think it's so beautiful because they really are just like freely pouring out, not just to spare this human life, but also on top of that, to support the mother in that journey. They have pregnancy classes, they have parenting classes, that's the word I'm looking for, to help this mother along the way. And again, all of those really practical resources and materials too, equipment, clothing, diapers, things like that. There are a couple of pregnancy centers that I know firsthand who do incredible work. I am going to make a mental note to link them in the show notes too. I actually spoke at an event over a year ago now, and it was run by a resource center for women. And the stories too that they were just telling of how they had supported so many women who had walked through their doors and supported them. Sometimes these women like didn't come back, and not knowing what decision they made. Was it to, you know, keep this life or to have an abortion, but supporting them and loving them as a woman and as somebody made in the image of God regardless. And then two, also stories of like how they, I think there was this one story where they really were just like counseling this woman, and she had gone in and just got different resources, and she was pregnant. They didn't hear back from her. And then I think she was basically about to have the baby, and she reached out and she was like, I am keeping the baby. I'm so scared. I don't have anything. And they just flooded her with resources. They made sure that people were with her during that process of actually having birth, giving her resources and practical equipment for the baby, like after this birth, supporting her as a mother too. And I just think that's so beautiful and so important for us to be doing and supporting the people who are doing that as well. And when it comes to this idea that people who are pro-life aren't putting their money, time, effort, all of those things where their mouth is after the baby is born. And again, I want to state that, you know, again, all Christians are not pro-life, but the vast majority of them are. And so I think it's really interesting, just some of the stats that I'm going to share here. ABC reported that Christians are 3 times more likely to consider fostering a child. Adoption.org reported that of all the religions, Christians held the highest adoption rate. Again, not all Christians are pro-life, but it is interesting to see that of a group where a lot of people are pro-life, like this group is actually doing so much compared to other groups. So I think that's really important to note too. And instead of maybe just, I think it can be so easy to see something on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, whatever. And, you know, it's like, yeah, like people who are pro-life don't care about outside the womb. They only care about the preborn and yada, yada, like to actually go into the stats and the data and different things like that too. And go and check out like the different resources that there are available, like these pregnancy center resources that actually, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, were in huge droves. It was all over the news reported that a lot of people who were pro-choice or pro-abortion were like destroying these pregnancy resources that are trying to provide resources for women, again, no matter what they do. Again, encouraging, of course, to go through and like with the pregnancy and choose life. But as we talked about, and as we read, so many of these resources, they give to them no matter what they decide. And a lot of these centers were destroyed, not by people who were pro-life, but by people who were pro-choice. And I think it's, and again, I feel like I have to give so many caveats, but like, that's not to say that if you're pro-choice, you want pregnancy centers to be wrecked or destroyed. Like you, there's so many people who think that they're a great resource no matter where you side on this issue. But I just think it's really interesting to note in wanting to help women, we're tearing down resources for them. Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing, an important thing to know. And it's important to know what's going on around in your own community, how you can help women too, and children as well as the unborn. So those are kind of my thoughts there. And the last thing I do want to say, and I think this is so important to say, because this is such a contentious issue, and it is so emotionally, mentally, morally, like a passionate issue where we can get really riled up. And I think in a lot of cases we should be really riled up, but in that process we can completely forget about grace and compassion. And so I do want to speak to that as well. 1/4 of women will have had an abortion by the age of 45 years old. And so I don't want to assume that everybody listening here agrees with what I'm saying. And I don't want to assume either that everybody listening here maybe has not chosen abortion. I am sure that there are a number of women who are listening who did choose to have an abortion. And I know that a number of women who do choose that either, like we talked about, feel sadness, depression, regret. A lot of women don't also. But I think it's so important keeping that in mind. And in fact, I know somebody personally, and just talking about her story, who she did choose to have an abortion. And later on, you know, she had kids later on, she just wasn't ready at the time at earlier on. And that's the decision that she made. And she was filled with regret later on. And that's so heartbreaking, just the shame and the pain that can come along with that decision. But later on, I think it was how she told it was one of her children were sick, and she felt like the Lord was going to take this child from her because she had ended a life previously by having an abortion. And that was just something she was wrestling with, and how she kind of felt like the Lord was gonna have justice, quote unquote, or vengeance in that way, and kind of treat her in that way because of a choice that she had made previously. And she was talking about how she remembers so vividly the Lord really speaking to her about how that was not his heart at all, and how he had forgiven her and redeemed her. And the Lord just doesn't work like that. He's not, you know, taking away her child because she previously had an abortion. The Lord loved her so much. And if you are somebody who is listening, or you are listening and you know somebody who has had an abortion, who has made a really tough decision for whatever reason it may be, the Lord loves you so, so, so much. He is so passionate about you. He cares for you deeply. He knew all of your days before you were born. He knew everything that you would do, everything that you would not do. And he has given his everything for you. And maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not. And I think in both regards, it's so important to know that the Lord loves you so much. He has forgiveness for you. If you're a Christian, that forgiveness is yours. If you're not, that's something you can accept freely. He has grace for you. He has mercy for you. He redeems and he restores, and he loves you so much. And I think that oftentimes we can put on ourselves this extra shame and burden that honestly even the devil puts on us. He loves to shower us with shame over decisions that we've made, but the Lord doesn't have that for us. The Lord wants us to know that he is for us and not against us. The Lord wants us to know that he loves us so much and that he forgives, and that he knows all things. He knows every aspect of who we are, why we make every decision we do. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he loves us. He loves you. And I think, you know, if you haven't had an abortion, I just think it's so important to have that mindset for women, compassion for women, women who have an unexpected pregnancy, women who have chosen abortion, to have compassion for them, knowing that it can be a really scary thing. It's a really hard decision to make. It's a really tough call. And that doesn't negate everything that I said before, my stance on this issue, but it's so important to know that compassion is also just such a must, and grace is such a must, and forgiveness is such a must. And knowing that the Lord loves us, all of us, is such a must. Whew. So that was like longer and bigger and maybe even heavier, but so important. But yeah, all of those things more than I was expecting to share all right now. I hope that this was an encouragement for you. That's everything that I'm going to share today. Again, there's so many other things that we could dive into and talk about. But that's everything that I'm going to share today. And again, I hope that maybe if you don't know what your stance is, I hope this was an encouraging episode for you. If you do know what your stance is, I hope this was an encouraging episode for you. And I'm just so thankful to you for listening, for being here. There is no Dear Meg today. So friend, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, to leave a review, to subscribe, all the things. I'm so thankful for you. Friend, live purposefully, live for Jesus, and have a fantastic rest of your day.